Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. And I pray that the Lord would pour out His Holy Spirit on you today and give you His benefits richly. Lord, we ask for all the brethren who are joining us today that Your mercy and Your grace would be poured out on them. And we ask, Father, that Your benefits would be in their heart, in their mind, and coming out of their mouth in their confession toward You, Lord, for You have said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we pray that their good confession will be in the heart and the mouth of the saints of God out there to spread Your wonderful good news and Your benefits all over the world, Lord. And we praise You for it, Father. We praise You in Jesus' name. So bless us, Lord, today. Bless us in our studying as we fellowship and sharing the word. And we thank You, God, that this word is going into our hearts and creating the life of Christ in each and every one of us, Lord. And we thank You that His word is His seed, and that seed can only bring forth Him, Jesus. And so we praise You for it, Father. We praise You in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Glory be to God. Now, what I'd like to do first is just relate a story I heard on the internet. And it's called, God, You've Got a Problem. And this is a man talking, and he was talking about his wife. So he says this. He said, so my wife shared this at our first service here on Sunday, and this you gotta hear. This is what he's saying. We were at a theme park and she was pregnant, which meant she got to ride the bench quite a bit and just watch. And so this older gentleman came and sat down at the end of the bench where she was sitting, and he began to talk about his family and how fast they grow up. But then he shared this story about how his son came home one night and he was drunk. Well, obviously he was upset and he literally didn't know what to say. So he just looked at his son. Then he looked up to heaven. Then he looked back at his son. Then he looked back up to heaven again. And then he said this, looks like you've got a problem, Lord. And with that, he turned around and went to bed. He told her that God had worked it out and it never happened again. But this is what my wife said. She said, we have got to get our eyes off of our impossible circumstances, our situations, or our mountain, and refocus them on our possible God. Whoo, somebody needs to hear that. She said, if you could just muster up just a little bit of faith, nothing big, just a tiny amount, that God will move those mountains out of your way, because He's a possible God, making the impossible possible. You know, it's kind of like a Daniel moment, he said. And I wonder, he said this, I wonder if while Daniel was in the lion's den, he said, looks like you got a problem, Lord. And he pulled up a lion and used it for a pillow and slept like a baby. Just a little bit of faith and the impossible becomes possible with our possible God. And I'd like to just define faith for you. Your faith, folks, should not be in your faith. And you might say, well, I'm not sure I have enough faith. The word does not say that He healed them that had enough faith. That's not what it said. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. According to the power that works in us, if your faith is in your faith, that's not Christian, that's humanism. Because your faith is actually in yourself. Do you know what you're really saying when you say, I'm not sure I have enough faith? I'm trying to have faith, but I don't think I have enough faith. What you're really saying is, I don't believe God can really be trusted. Because that's what faith is. Faith is trusting that God would do what he says. And when you say, I don't think I have enough faith, you're actually saying, well, you know, I've known God for a long time, and I'm not sure I can trust him that much. He's been pretty much trustworthy, but he could still fail me. He could still let me down. Now, I know that nobody's ever said those words, but that's what we're saying when we say we don't have enough faith in God. Your faith ought not to be in your faith. Your faith should be in God. It's not a matter of, do I have enough faith? You'll never find Jesus talking about how much faith. The type of faith that Jesus talks about is faith that perseveres. A type of faith that continues and stands. In other words, a faith that decides from the beginning what the end is going to be like, and then doesn't stop until the end of that situation looks like how you saw the end. Faith is like, this is the way it looks in the natural. The doctor's report said terminal. But the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. And that's the way it will look when it's all over with. So faith is, I keep going and I keep trusting God until it looks like the Bible says it ought to look. And if you stop before then, that's little faith. Or it could be no faith in some cases. It's not about the amount of faith. He's talking about persevering in your faith. The ability to stand and continue to stand on what the Word of God says in his promises. He that endures to the end shall be saved. The whole idea is not about an amount. Just like he told that centurion, he told him, he said, according to your faith be it unto you. He didn't say, according to how much faith you have be it unto you. What Jesus was saying was, according to what you just said, exactly just what you said, I agree with that. He wasn't saying according to how much faith you have. And if that were true and that was the case, there would have been a whole lot of cases that Jesus ministered to that would have been partial healings, because it was not the amount of faith. It was the faith that stayed until it got what it came for, glory to God. So let's go ahead and take a look at spiritual dominion now. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15, and he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. Well, who are the sons of God? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, where he's talking about Jesus. He says this, he that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. And to this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, as we continue to learn about the true gospel, in particular, we've been talking about the deliverance that God gives us. Let's begin by looking at what Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out, just before they were about to go solo, because he was about to go home. Matthew 28:18 says, And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, obviously, Jesus wasn't telling those particular disciples that he was going to be with them that long. He was talking about all disciples who go forth at his bidding and who teach others to observe all things that he told his first disciples. That word observe in this text means to hold fast to or to keep. We hadn't done that, have we? Over the last 2,000 years, we haven't held fast to that. Over the last 2,000 years, we have slid about as far as we can slide away from what was written in the Gospels, the book of Acts, and the rest of the New Testament. Yet now, the Lord is bringing his people back to a time when his benefits are going to be known in the earth once more, miraculously and powerfully. But we need to hold fast to the commands that he gave to the first disciples. Now look at Jude chapter 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. We need to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And one of those things that he commanded his first disciples, which was passed on to us, is Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. Who'd he say that to? Well, he told that to the disciples so that they would know, real disciples, what they look like. Verse 14, and afterward, he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. 15, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Well, they didn't get to do that. Once again, he was obviously talking to more than just the first disciples. He was speaking to us too. Verse 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so we see that he taught them how to identify the people who really believed what the disciples said when the disciples were passing on the commandments that Jesus gave unto them. Now, do you understand, folks, that we're not to receive anything but the commandments that Jesus gave unto the first disciples? The church hadn't kept the word of God. They've not held fast to the commands that were given to the first disciples. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that rejecteth you, rejecteth me. And he that rejecteth me, rejecteth him that sent me. Well, how many of you know that we have rejected him as a whole? We have rejected their word, we have rejected their commands, and now we see the trouble that's come of it. The church has not brought forth any deliverance in the earth, as Isaiah 26 and 18 says. And there's been a great falling away. Verse 17 of Luke 10 says, And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. They were happy to get this revelation. And a lot of people are going to be happy to get this revelation once again, as if it's been hidden. Well, it's been right there all along, folks. We just need to get in the Bible and read the Bible, don't we? And make sure that you're not wasting your time. Find out what a real disciple is all is. They were just overjoyed to see that the demons had to obey them. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. So we can see that when he talks about serpents and scorpions, he talks about spirits. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He gave them, he gave them this authority, and he commanded them to go out and give this authority to others. He commanded them to teach the disciples to observe or to hold fast to everything that he spoke to them. And that's what we're doing today. We have no authority to do anything else but to share with the disciples what the Lord has given us as benefits and as an inheritance. Praise be to God. Amen. Glory be to God. You know, in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed, and you've learned that many healing issues are demonically motivated, right? Acts 10:38, even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It is an oppression or sometimes a possession of the devil, a lot of times. And many of these very bad diseases are spirits of infirmity. James chapter 2 and verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Faith without works is incomplete, and the Lord has told us to confess him before men. Matthew 10:32, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And the Bible says all that's necessary is to believe with the heart and confess with their mouth. And don't forget the confessing with your mouth part. Romans 10:8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You're not very far from a healing or a deliverance or anything that you need. And that's what Paul is telling you right here. And in the previous text, he tells you in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith saith thus, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Do you have to go up to heaven to get it? Or does Christ have to come down for you to get it? Uh-uh. Look, the word is nigh you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What is Jesus Lord of? What did Jesus do at the cross? Well, what Jesus did at the cross was become Lord over all of the curse, sin, and creation. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. When Jesus walked the earth, he exercised this authority over the curse to set God's people free. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Glory to God. Isaiah boldly proclaims that he would set the captive free and open the prison to those who are bound, delivering God's people from bondage to Satan, bondage to the curse and sin, and on and on. And we see here that it's real simple. Salvation in any form, whether salvation of your spirit, your soul, your body or circumstances is with your heart. You believe the promises of the Word of God, and with your mouth you confess them. Because faith without works is dead, as the Scripture very plainly tells us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Verse 16, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And it's the same way today, folks. Many don't believe, and therefore they don't really confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called and didst confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. That Greek word confess here means to speak the same as, to speak the same thing. It's homologeo, and some people translate it as the same word, to speak the same as, and to confess in agreement with healing or deliverance or provision of any form, is to say that what the Bible says about it, and is to speak with the same word about it. Our Lord Jesus said that if we will confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father and before the holy angels. Luke 12 and 8, and I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Glory to God. And the Bible says the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1 and 13. But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies a footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? They serve the heirs of salvation. They're the ones who manifest these precious gifts that we agree with. Psalms 103 and 19, the Lord hath established his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Over all, folks. And don't leave nothing out. Don't leave anybody out. It includes the principalities, the powers, the spirit of cancer that had taken dominion in many cases. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. You see, as ministers of his, we confess him before men. We speak the same as. In other words, we agree with the word of God. Do you know that the angels are waiting for you to agree with the word of God? Well, it says right here, they hearken unto the voice of his word, and they are mighty in strength that fulfill his words. They're waiting for you to agree with the word of God so that they can administer the benefits of the kingdom. They are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. That's us. We who believe are the heirs of salvation. And that salvation includes everything. We have authority to bind or to loose according to what Jesus told us. Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We bind or we loose by agreeing with the word of God or disagreeing with the word of God. We loose the devil to take advantage of us and to plunder us if we don't agree with the word of God. We disagree with the word of God if we add to or take away from the words of the Bible. In other words, if we don't confess him, then we don't speak the same as. And if we don't speak the same as, he said that we're under the curse of this book. Revelation 22:18, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book to this prophecy, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. And also our name will be taken out of the book of life. It behooves us to agree with God's word so that we can have those benefits. It behooves us to confess him boldly before men, even men who don't believe. The Lord Jesus wants a testimony in the earth, and he wants us to confess him before men. He said he would confess us before the angels if we did that. And I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And of course, then the angels administer the benefits because the word of God has been spoken. And a lot of people believe that this only means that the angels listen to what God says. Well, you have it both ways, because Jesus said he would confess us before the holy angels, if we confess him before men. If we confess him before men, we are speaking the word of God before them. And so either way, folks, the angels get the authority from us. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And if we don't agree with the word of God, we loose the devil and we bind God. It's just as when Jesus went to his own hometown, Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, because their unbelief had bound up God. How could we possibly bind God with our unbelief? Well, very simply, Scripture says it's because God has bound himself by his own word. Once he's made a promise, and once he has made a condition, if he were to disagree with it and annul it, or not submit to it in any way, he'd be a liar, wouldn't he? And God ain't a liar. I'm telling you, he's not a liar. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and would he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and would he not make it good? So you see, God has bound himself by his word. But a lot of times men would like to get him to change his word. They would like to get him to administer the benefits of the kingdom to them while ignoring all the conditions that he put in there. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therefore, that's a condition. The benefits of the kingdom are for believers because they are covenant people, not those loosely called Christians. We've got to be careful, because with our heart and with our mouth, we can administer salvation or we can administer the curse. We got authority both ways, positive and negative. If we disagree with God, if we preach the gospel of the devil or the bad news of the devil, I tell you, that's what we're going to have, and God will teach us a lesson because of it. You know, folks, unforgiveness and bitterness are destroying many people out there. You can pray all you want. You can pray until you're blue in the face. But if you're full of unforgiveness, bitterness, or wrath toward anybody, your prayers ain't going to be answered, because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You must be forgiven in order to have the benefits of the kingdom. James 5:14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. You see, you have to be forgiven. God has to be willing to forgive you to give you the benefit. So make sure that you do. Look in your past. Have the Lord check your heart to see if there's any unforgiveness there. And then repent of it. Verse 16, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Make sure that you have forgiven everybody so that the Lord can forgive you and give you his benefits. The curse is chasing you down. Some of you out there are being chased by the curse, and it's going to catch you unless you first run to the Lord. Matthew 18 and 19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. I tell you, folks, the power that God has invested in those who believe, the power that he's willing to share and willing to administer in his gifts upon the people who believe is just awesome. You see, folks, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1 and 11, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. He knows what we need. He knows we're proud. He knows we have to go through these trials and tribulation. Jesus has been given authority over all the power of the enemy, over all the principalities and power. And he's given that power to those who believe. Just as Adam fell and lost the authority he had over all creation, the second Adam didn't fall, didn't stumble, didn't give in to the devil, and didn't give away his authority. Lord Jesus didn't do that at all. His servants you are whom you obey. Romans 6 and 16, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? It don't matter if you call yourself a Christian or not. You're going to serve the devil. And you will obey him. You will give him your authority over him if you walk in sin. You know, many people have gone through horrendous things in their childhood, and they're packing up a lot of baggage. These things snowballs the further down life's trail that you go. And demons open doors to other demons, and you find yourself totally cursed and in bondage. The nursing homes are full of people who can't function because they're demon-possessed. I don't remember this being the case when I was younger. I'm seeing it worse now because obviously we're on the far end of the curse, and it's manifesting strongly all around us. But we've been given the answer, folks, by the gospel. The Lord Jesus has already taken care of this. And most Christians are just sitting on their hands and not really doing any of the things that they're commanded. But we as Christians are the ones who can bring this revelation to the world. Mark 11, 23, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith comes to pass, he shall have it. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and ye shall have them. I was reminded of the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7, verses 26 through 30, and the story of the centurion, and how the Lord was just awed at their simple faith and their confession of faith that the Lord was sovereign over this situation, and they weren't even covenant people. Most people you pray for don't say a thing. They don't confess the deliverance. They think that it's all just in your mind. Well, you know, faith without works is incomplete. And when we act on our faith, that's the completion of our real faith. And a person who doesn't do that doesn't have real faith. It's incomplete. Fruitless is the word that's used in James 2. Matthew 8 and 13 says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour." 9:29, Matthew 9:29. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it done unto you." And in Mark 11:23, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says comes to pass, he shall have it." So, we have to have that childlike faith. And if everybody had that, folks, I tell you, it would be just so wonderful to be praying for people. You wouldn't have to worry about and begin to use your faith. I've been asked, can we cast demons out of ourselves? Yeah, you can. It happens all the time. And I'm not saying that it's not good to get the elders to pray over you or to get other people to agree with you. The Bible says one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. So you know that the combined faith is 10 times more powerful than by yourself. But you can't get them out of there by yourself. Deuteronomy 32 and 30. "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had delivered them up?" So when we put our faith together, God's going to bring it to pass, glory to God. But yes, you can. You can cast demons out of yourself. And I'm not saying that you don't need to get around God's saints and get them to agree with you. Sometimes God will speak to people and tell them, go get somebody to agree with you, even though they have the faith. It's also a powerful thing to do to confess your sins one to another, to humble yourself before God. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. James 4 and 6, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore the scripture saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." So confessing your sins, gathering together and getting other people to agree with you and put their faith with yours is powerful. But at the same time, yeah, you can cast demons at yourself. You can command them to go, they have to obey. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. You've been given authority over all the demon spirits. And many, many diseases are manifested by demon spirits. Sometimes it's an oppression. Sometimes it's a possession. It really don't make that much of a difference. You got to deal with it the same way. Now, I'd like to speak to you moms and dads and husbands and wives that you have authority in your household. And you have authority for those whom you take care of. For example, some of you are taking care of older relatives. And in the case of the centurion, it was his servant for whom the centurion was responsible. You have authority in that situation. You don't even have to confess. You don't even have to have a confession of their faith in that situation. If you're taking care of them, they're under your household. Or even if you're taking care of them in their household, you have authority in that situation. And you can take the authority that Jesus has given to you and just exercise it in the name of Jesus, and God will stand behind your word. Guarantee it. However, in situations where you are dealing with other people out there, always share the gospel with them. Don't share deliverance with them. And don't share healing with them. Share the gospel with them, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one who believes. Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And when I say the gospel, I mean the good news that Jesus has already saved them from their sin, healed their body, delivered them from demons, and provided their need. All of these things. And you need to share with them that Jesus has delivered them totally from the curse. And you need to share the good gospel with them, and if they believe it, they can have it. And you can administer it. That's the condition you are dealing with somebody who's not under your authority. You always have to make sure that they confess in some form, either with their mouth or with their feet, that they are agreeing with the gospel. And when they do that, you know that you've got the authority. Go forth and share the gospel. Lift up Jesus and what he has done before men, and God's power will be present. Glory to God. Such an easy gift. Share the real good news that Jesus has already delivered them, and not the common weak gospel that we hear nowadays. You know, the gospel that the suffering that you go through is somehow beneficial to you because it humbles you. Well, it could be true, but that's not what Jesus preached. He preached deliverance. He was consistent, and everybody who was a member of his kingdom, everyone who was in covenant with God, was offered this benefit. And he expected their faith to reach out for it and receive it. Faith is that substance for the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. And of course, when we're in the midst of misery, in some form of bondage to the devil or to the demons or whatever it is, there's no evidence seen. But faith is that substance. This is the thing you need to send forth. If you're on the receiving end or if you're on the ministering end, it don't make any difference. It's what you have to send forth. If any two agree, and that can include the one being ministered to and the one ministering, be sure to share the gospel with people around you who are in misery, and just ask them for a simple agreement with you concerning what the promise is. It's possible that you can believe part of the gospel and receive the benefit of that particular part. And you can believe another part and receive the benefit of that other particular part. There are a lot of people out there who believe the gospel that Jesus bore their sins and that he has forgiven them. And then they stop right there. They may not die not believing the other part of the gospel, that he's also borne all the curse. You know, if Jesus bore your sin, folks, and if he really did that, why would he not bear the penalty of your sin? You're saying that he took away the sin, but he didn't take away the penalty? In other words, I'm guiltless, but I still have to live under the curse. What kind of justice is that? No, that ain't the gospel. That's not the full gospel, as Paul called it, Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak of anything save those which Christ wrought through me. For the obedience of the Gentiles, by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about, even unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, yea, making it my aim so to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, they shall see to whom no tidings of him came, and they who have not heard shall understand. He said the full gospel could only be manifested in signs and wonders, and that's absolutely true. We don't have any authority to share half a gospel by sharing only the part of the gospel that a person needs. If they're sick, or they have demons, or if they have a mental problem, we're still to share the full gospel. We have the benefits of the kingdom, and they are free. They're unmerited. Why would you send a person to somebody who charges? That's not the way that Jesus administered the benefits of the kingdom. He did it freely. He didn't charge a nickel. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. We are to freely give those benefits. We're not to bring people under the law or anything like that. All they have to do is very simply agree with the gospel. For example, yeah, I agree that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And if they make a confession of any kind that Jesus had healed them, that's all you need, folks. It's real simple. It's a free gift. Give them a free gift. You have authority to do that. And because this is a great commission, every disciple of Christ has these orders to go forth and share with the people around them and administer the benefits of the kingdom. And how fast that gospel would spread if everybody wasn't dependent upon the preacher to do everything for them. You can go out and tell people, come and let's learn about Jesus. Well, they can come to your church, but in most cases, they're not going to get their deliverance. They're not going to get their healing. They're not going to get their benefits because in many cases, you are in a dead church and they don't preach the full gospel. So you know what, folks? You are to be those evangelists. Evangelism is outside the church. You go outside of the church. You know who's in the church? Only the people of God are in the church. Only the true people of God are in the true church. That was the way it was in the first church. They went out and they evangelized. They brought people into the kingdom outside of their dead churches. The disciples shared the gospel with them. They gave them the benefits of the kingdom and they joined themselves to the believers. You don't want unbelievers to join themselves to the believers. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, they were afraid to join themselves to the believers. Ananias and Sapphira are a good demonstration of what happens if you're only a half Christian and you join yourself to real believers. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, did it not remain thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? How is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and a great fear came upon all that heard it. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. But Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. Do you know that there are a lot of people out there who are dead because they tried to join themselves to believers? See, what you do is you bring the gospel to them. You go out there and you share it with them. And if they prove themselves to be a beneficiary of the kingdom because of their belief, you give them the benefit. You just give it to them. That's the job, folks. Don't invite them to your church. Go out there and share with them. Don't bring them to me either. The real good news has to spread geometrically. The manifold gifts of God have to go out through many people. Most ministers make people dependent upon them to pray for the sick, to evangelize, to preach the gospel. This is not the way, folks. The way is to make disciples and send the disciples. And the disciples go and make disciples, and the disciples go and make disciples, and it's just a geometric progression that is growing and growing. The Nicolaitan era has made people dependent upon preachers. And I would say that a whole lot more than half of these are not going to preach the gospel. So you find out what the gospel is, you get filled with God's Holy Spirit, and you bring the powerful gifts of God to others. You know, Jesus said, But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Am I saying that you can't do this without the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No, I ain't doing that. All you have to do is believe to administer the benefits. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. And if you need more power, you need the Holy Spirit. In this area of spiritual dominion, we need only see a few things clearly to change our lives and the lives of all we meet forever. If you will earnestly seek to have the truth that I'm about to share with you and graft it into your heart, you will walk upon this earth like Jesus, as God intended you to do. The truth number one is this: God intended man to have and walk in dominion on the earth. And truth number two: man forfeited that position of dominion by acting on Satan's word instead of God's word. And truth number three: when man forfeited his position of dominion, he also forfeited his position of fellowship and communion. Fellowship, communion, and dominion are not different positions. They're all one and the same. Truth number four: God wanted man in a position of fellowship, dominion, so much that he was willing to sacrifice Jesus to return man to his original position. Truth number five: Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and by his life he showed us how to live on earth as a man walking in dominion. He was the second Adam. Jesus walked like a man without sin in a sinful world. Truth number six: Jesus did his part. And if we're not back into our original position before God, then Jesus' sacrifice was not as good as Adam's sin was bad. Truth number seven: for we, being the body of Christ, are to walk as Jesus upon this earth, being for others what Jesus was and is for us. We are to be deliverers of those who are bound by Satan as Jesus did. And Jesus showed us how, by having fellowship and communion with our Heavenly Father and freely giving out what we have freely received. Now, here are a few examples of dominion given to men, and one of them is a freedom to heal anyone. Matthew 10:7-8. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. Luke 9:1-2. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 9:4-6. And into whatsoever ye enter, there abide and thence depart. And as many as received you not, when you depart from that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Verse 6. And they departed and went throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Luke 10:8-9. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are as set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Freedom to pray for anything within the parameters of a Christian life. Matthew 16:19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 21:21-22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but even if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And then, freedom to say what you want, get it. Mark 11:23-24. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says comes to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and ye shall have them. Well, I'm out of time. God bless you, saints, and I pray that you'll take this gospel seriously and go forth in the name of Jesus. God bless you in this new year coming, that you'll do exactly that. Well, we'll see you later, folks, God willing.